Great to see everyone. The topic of tonight's shiur, generally speaking, is going to be the principle that's found a couple of places in Shas. At five places in Shas. Fascinating principle, but the far-reaching ramifications of this principle are many more than five places in Shas. The primary topic of tonight's shiur is going to be cases where the Chachamim have the right to uproot a din from the Torah. That's going to be the primary function. But just before we get into that, just to follow along the end of the sugya that we began last week, remember that, well, for the last 2 weeks, we've learned the sugya of onus beginning. But just to remind you one more time, deals with the issue of a person gives his wife a divorce, and he makes a condition on the condition that I won't show up in 12 months, and then the reason he doesn't show up is because he really wanted to come back. He wanted to come back, but there was some onus that prevented him from being able to come back. So, Rava said the halacha of ein ones begitin, which means that ones does not prevent the get from being a good get. I just want to mention that I'm still on the post-Shabbaton voice, so this is actually a greatly improved version over yesterday and even this morning. Each day, a lot of tea, Rav Hashem comes back. I'm not going to be able to, you know, give it as much as usual. But anyway, so I always have to try harder to stay awake. That's the bottom line. But so Rava said ein ones begitin, which means ones does not play a role when it comes to divorce. Ein ones begitin. So the Gemara tried to bring, that's what we did in the last 2 weeks here, the Gemara tried to bring three proofs to the din of ein ones begitin, and the Gemara rejects all three proofs. The Gemara says all three proofs are not good. So therefore, the Gemara comes to a very fascinating conclusion. The conclusion the Gemara comes to is, Ella, you can pick this up in your on your sheets, if you just want to follow along, we're holding in the sheets. It's the bottom three lines on Beis on a Beis. The Gemara comes to the following conclusion. Ella, says the Gemara, Rava Svara Dinaf Sheikha. He wanted to know where Rava got his idea from. In reality, Rava did not have a source. All these Mishnayos that we thought of are sources to Rava, that onus does not play a role when it comes to divorce, those sources are not good sources. So where did Rava get the idea from? Rava Svara Dinaf Sheikha Omar. Rava said his own Svara, Mishim Tsnuos U Mishim Prutzos. Rava came up with this idea of ein ones begitin because he felt if we would apply the rule of yesh ones begitin, which is the din doraisa, as we're going to see in a second, there were going to be problems with the tznuos and the frutzos. What does this mean, gentlemen? This means like this, that Rava really holds al pi din yesh ones begitin. As Rashi says later on, we've discussed the last 2 weeks, because ones is a halachim kol haTorah kula. Right? The pasuk says, if a man rapes a married woman, we don't kill the woman. Why? Because in the pasuk of v'la nara lo saseh davar, you can't kill a woman. If she commits adultery because she was raped, you can't kill somebody for doing so. It's ones. She didn't mean to commit the aver, you can't kill her. And based on the Gemara Nedarim, Dav Chavzai and Nidre Onsin, right? If a man swears that I'm going to buy you something within 30 days, and an onus happens and he doesn't buy it, you're not going to chayav a guy for violating his nether. He wanted to complete the nether. So the Gemara backs out. The Gemara says, when Rava said ein ones begitin, he didn't really mean it. Really on the level of Doraisa, the Gemara says, yesh ones begitin. Because onus is a rule that applies in Kol HaTorah Kula, of course. Onus, if an onus happens, you can't say if a guy gives his wife a divorce. If a guy gives his wife a divorce, and he says, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want to get to be again. And he really wanted to come back. But the reason he comes back is because of an onus. On a level of Doraisa, really, yesh onus begin, then the get is not a good get. That's not called fulfilling your condition. You didn't come back, but you wanted to come back. You just were prevented. You were sick in the hospital. That's not called fulfilling your tonight. So the get is not a good get. Yesh onus begin me Doraisa. However, Rava, when he said ein ones begitin, was telling you a din derabanan. He was making a gzeira derabanan. even though midoraisa, yesh onus begitin, the get is not a good get, and they're still married midoraisa. The rabbis come along and say, because the rabbis are worried about various decrees of the tzuas and the prudzes, we'll talk about it in 1 second. The rabbis worry about the tzuas and the prudzes. Come along, the rabbis and the chachamim say, we're going to say ain onus begitin. We're going to say midorabanan and ain onus begitin, and the get is a good get. So you have an incredible scenario here in the Gemara where the Torah says the get's not a good get and they're still married. And the rabbis have the right to come along and say they're no longer married. I tell us. Midoraisa, the Torah says, yesh onus begitin, and therefore the get is not a good get, and therefore they're still married. And the Chacham come along and say, ain onus begitin, and the get is a good get, and they're no longer married. So first, yeah.
Is there a difference between overturning things to chumra and lekura?
Well, what would you call this case?
Lechumra.
My Rebbe likes to say every chumra is a kula. Why do you want to call this? They're letting the Ishish Ish go walk free and marry somebody else. They're saying the kids, Midoraisa, her kids are going to be mamzerim from other kids.
There's a get here. They're just saying the get is good. She's not an Ishish
Ish. Okay, there's a Rashba that sounds like that. Okay, maybe. Let's see as we go along. There's a Rashba that sounds like that. So why did Rava say that the rabbis, in this case, the Chachamim, uproot the get? I'm sorry, did the Chachamim say the get is a good get and they uproot the marriage? Why did they do it? Says the Gemara, because of the tznuas and the prutzos. What's the tznuas and the prutzos? So we went through this last time, but just I wanted to do the tosis. Did I do this tosis already? Remind me. Did I do this tosis, the top tosis, the savradaris? Did I do it? I don't think I did it inside. What did the Gemara say? Mishun tznuas and prutzos. Why? Mishun tznuas. If we would leave the din doraisa that yesh onus begitin and the get is not a good get, so what's going to happen? We're worried about the tznuos. What are the tznuos going to do? Tznuos doesn't mean tznuos like they dress with long sleeves. That's not what it means over here. It means zimnin delo onus. Sometimes it's not going to be an onus. The savra de onus, but the tznuos, they're very machmer on themselves. Sometimes it's not going to be an onus. Right, this guy, he wants to leave her. Right? He says, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want to get to be a good get. I'm going to play the field, see what else is out there. If I don't show up in 12 months, it means I found somebody better than you. So I want to get to be a good get. So what's going to happen? Sometimes he's going to say, forget it, I don't want to be married anymore. He found somebody else. He's not going to show up. She's going to say, oh, yesh onus begitin. Maybe he's really lying sick in a hospital somewhere. So tznuah means she's going to be like machin. She's going to be machmer, and so maybe she's lying somewhere in the hospital. So that's why the rabbis came along and said, we're not going to allow the din doraisa yesh onus begitin. We're going to say onus and ain onus begitin, and therefore either way she's going to be divorced. Whether it's an onus, not an onus, if she doesn't show up after 12 months, the get is a good get, ain onus begitin, because they're worried about the tznuos. That's one thing they're worried about, because sometimes it's not going to be an onus, if she's going to be machmer, umei egna v'yosu, she's going to be an aguna. She's going to be an aguna. She's going to sit around waiting for him because, oh, maybe my husband, of course, he loves me. He must be sitting dying in a hospital. That's why he didn't come back. And there's an onus. Yesh onus begin. So that's why the rabbi said, ain onus begin. And what else? Well, mishum prutzos. And they're also worried about the prutzos. Who the prutzos means that just the opposite. The women who are going to be lenient. They're poets. They don't care. Married to this one, married to that one. Because if we keep the din doraisa of yesh onus begin, which means the get is not a good get, because we say it's onus, zin into onus, the reverse. Sometimes it really is going to be an onus, va'amra, but she's going to say it's not an onus. Interesting, the Gemara changes language from the Sarva to Vam, we'll see it in Tosas in 1 second. She's going to say it wasn't an onus, right? Maybe the guy really is lying in the hospital, and she's going to say, the prutz is going to say, my good-for-nothing husband, he probably found some other woman more beautiful than me, so he really meant it should be a good get. He meant it really to be mekayim tonight. And she's going to go marry somebody else. But really, the guy's in the hospital. He's going to show up in 2 months and say, oh, I was in the hospital. It was an onus. Really, the get's not a good get. And what's going to happen? She went for Uzlum into it. She's going to go marry somebody else. for them to get batel b'nei mamzerim. It's going to turn out that the get was batel, and her kids from the new marriage are going to be mamzerim. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos asks, wait one second over here. What's going on in this Gemara? I'm going to learn the top Tosfos now, v'sama. V'sama Tosfos. Tosfos says, wait a second, Rabbi Yisai. Let me ask you, gentlemen, let me ask you the question. Okay? Alcoa presents, you make the call. When I was growing up, that was the command. Anyway, you make the call. I'm asking you to make the call. Hello? What would you do? Man gives his wife a get. Says, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want the get to be a good get. The 12 months passes. Well, what would you do? What would you do? I'm asking you, Besdin, Paskin for me. Here's the woman, the guy didn't show up in 12 months. What are you going to say? What are you going to say to Halachis? What are you going to say? It's a good get, right? Aye, maybe you're going to be choshesh that he's lying in the hospital somewhere and he really wanted to come back. But, I mean, you, Mistami, you go based on majority. The majority is the guy, he didn't call, he didn't say, he didn't send the messenger, nothing. So asks Tosfos Akasha, why is the Gemara saying that the Tznuos is going to be someone who's going to say that maybe really it wasn't an onus, but she's going to think maybe it's an onus, and the Prutzos are going to say, no, really it wasn't an onus, but the Prutzos is going to say no, it probably wasn't an onus. Asks Tosfos, why are you calling these women Prutzos? If a woman's just going to rely on the majority case and say that an onus did not happen, that's what you and I would do also. Why are you calling her a prutza? Because she's saying that maybe sometimes what will really happen is an onus, but she's going to say an onus didn't happen. She's going to say, we follow a rule.
Not amount of these type of cases.
Why not?
Like in the World Trade Center, or if somebody dies in a fire, you got to make sure that the guy's actually dead. They're going to roll. Most people died, therefore this guy's not dead also. We don't do that. You need proof that the guy's dead.
So by Mace Bala, we're much more lenient. By those Mishem Iguna Hekelu. By Mace Bala, so it could be that kind of scenario, you may need Taka two witnesses. In some cases, we're much more strict, and sometimes be going to Hekelu. But Lav Dafka, in this circumstance, you don't say, well, maybe, I mean, a guy says, if I don't show up in 12 months, it's a get. He didn't show up. He was Mekayim the Tanai. That was the Tanai. Look at Tosis.
Is there room to vary based on a person's tendency, person's naturally. Person
who's
a very sick person.
Oh, let's see. Tosfos is going to say something.
Someone's always late.
Oh, good. So let's see. So Tosfos is going to say something similar to that. Very good. The Sarvadonis, look at the top Tosfos. Says Tosfos, Umin hadin leslan lamechash dil ma'anusu deruban lo anise. So Tosfos says that min hadin, she should not be worrying maybe an onus happened, because majority, onus does not happen. Ulahaki karlu tznuos. That's why the Gemara refers to these women as tznuos, which means, doesn't mean they wear long sleeves, it means they are overly, the tznuos are overly concerned about the halacha. They're overly concerned about the halacha. They're overly tznua. They're overly concerned about Jewish law. Shemachmir in alatzman, that they're being strict on themselves. Avagav de boilin, the Avagav de Matzi Linsume. Even though they're really allowed to get married. Why are they allowed to get married? Because if a man gives his wife a divorce and says, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want the get to be a good get, and the guy doesn't show up in 12 months, so in reality, they are allowed to get married. Because what are you going to worry? Maybe he's sick in the hospital somewhere and he really wanted to come back? You don't worry for possibilities like that. You follow majority, you follow the normal scenario. The guy didn't show up, you assume the get's a good get. So that's why we called it Tznuos, because she's going to be Mach. Now, what about the Prutzos? Says Tosfos, Agave Prutzos, Lo Garcinan Vesavra de Lo Anis, Eleva Amra de Lo Anis. He says, by the Prutzos, that's why, if you notice before, it doesn't say that she's going to think an onus happened, rather, Vamra, meaning Zimnin to honest. Sometimes it was really an honest, but she's going to say it wasn't an honest. What do you mean she's going to say it wasn't an honest? That's the din, right? She's supposed to say. She's supposed. Why are we calling her a prusa? She's supposed to say it was honest. Tosa says, "Lo gasin of sara el amra pirish." What does Tosa say? What's the case of the prusa? It's pirish. Afilu kisha yotza hakol de honest amra de lo honest. Ari, the first pshat Tosa says, "Why are we calling her a prusa? She's just doing what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is the guy doesn't show up after 12 months. It's a good get. That's what he said. If I don't show up 12 months." So why are we calling her a prutza? Because she's saying it wasn't an honest. Tosa says, you know why we're calling her a prutza? Even if there was a kol, which means even if there were rumors that said, you know, the guy, poor guy, he really wanted to come back and be your husband again, but he's sick in the hospital somewhere. There were rumors to that effect. She's going to say, no, I don't believe the rumors. I'm allowed to remarry now. I'm not going to believe the rumors that he's sick in the hospital and he wants to come back and not close tonight. So that's why the Gemara said, "V'armra the lawnis." I feel the kishyetz hakol. Or another possibility is, I feel the kishyetayda he asked for the onus. Even if she knows that it was an onus, va'acherim lo yadu, and others did not know. He tells us has a side kash, interesting side point. I'm not going to go into it right now. So, gentlemen, so this is the tznuas and the prutus. But what comes out of our Gemara, gentlemen? What comes out of our Gemara is. What comes out of our Gemara is that on a Torah level, the get is not a good get. So on a Torah level, the woman is still married. And come along the rabbis and say to the Rabbanon, we're going to rip up the marriage. We're going to say the get is a good get. In a case where there's an ones, me doraisa yesh ones begitten, the get is not a good get, and they're still married. Come along the rabbis, and the rabbis say, no, we're going to dissolve this marriage. So comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara says, who gave the rabbis the right to do such a thing? Who gave the rabbis the right to do such a thing? The Gemara asks, look at the top of, we're now on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. On the fourth line, last word on the line is Umi. Gimel Amud Aleph. Fourth line, last one, last me. Either look at it in front of you, or you can look on the smartphone, whichever you prefer. Asks the Gemara. Umi ikamide, demidoraisa lola have a get. Umi shum tsnuos, umi shum prutsa sharina neishas ishla alma. Asks the Gemara, how could the halachic system tolerate a scenario where the Torah says they're still married? The Torah says, yesh onus begin. The Torah says this get is not a good get. It was an onus. And the rabbis have the power to say, no, we're going to say it's a good get. Because the rabbis were worried about the tznuas and the prutzos, sharina neishas ishla alma. We're going to permit a woman who is still married as far as the Torah is concerned. The rabbis can dissolve the marriage and allow this woman to go marry somebody else. Midoraisa, this woman's going to now marry somebody else. She's not really divorced. Her kids are going to be mamzerim. Midoraisa from the new marriage. How could the rabbis have such power? Answers the Gemara in. Yes, they do. Call the Mekadesh. Atai to the Rabbanon Mekadesh. Vafkinu Rabbanon Mekidush Minay. Anyone who gets married, marriage is different. Marriage is different than all other areas of Torah law. In most areas of Torah law, the rabbis do not have the right to uproot dinam d'oraisa. We'll see in certain cases the rabbis do. Right? There's some famous cases where the rabbis uproot dinam d'oraisa. But in 95% of Torah law, the rabbis do not have the right to just rip up a dinam d'oraisa. But when it comes to marriage, the Gemara says, it's different. Because marriage, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up marriage, is called the Mekadesh, Adaita the Rabbanon Mekadesh. Anyone who marries gets married on the condition that the rabbis should agree to the marriage. And Tosis points out, a little one-line Tosis on the side, that's why when we get married, we say the words, Hare At Mekudeshes Li. Do we all remember when we said this? Hare At Mekudeshes Li B'Tabas Zo Kidas Moshe Yisrael. Kidas, no, not Kidas Moshe Yisrael. Dati, right? Chassan's got to know what he's saying. Kidas, right? Das means the religion, like the religion of. Kedas Moshe Yisrael. Hare at Mekudesh Esli B'tavazu Kedas Moshe Yisrael. What does that mean? Every mitzvah that you do, every halacha that you do, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. What does that mean, Kedas? I'm hereby marrying you based on the religion of Moses in Israel. According to the religion of Moses in Israel. What are you saying, Kedas Moshe Yisrael? So, Tosus and Ksubas and Gimel Medalev says that the reason we stick that in is because, and Rashi's going to explain this at length, if you look inside Rashi, Rashi explains this at length. Rashi goes through a long, long explanation. You can look on the side of Rashi. Kol HaMekadesh. Kol HaMekadesh Yisha. Al Das Shehinhigu Chachme Yisrael B'Yisrael Hu Mekadesha. Rashi goes through a lengthy arichas over here. Rashi says, anyone who gets married, Rashi says, call them Kadesh Isha, anyone who marries a woman, al das shen higu chach me Yisrael b'Yisrael hu mekadesh. He's only getting married on the condition that this marriage needs to be in accordance with the customs that the rabbis observe with Jewish marriage. Sheyu kayomim kiddushin lefi divrei chachamim, that the marriage should be upstanding based on the say-so of the rabbis, v'yu b'teilim lefi divrei chachamim, and they are going to be negated based on the words of the rabbis. Ayidei gittin shechshiru chachamim, based on a divorce that the rabbis say is okay. And therefore, if the rabbis say a divorce is a divorce, then the divorce is good. The Torah says the divorce is not a good divorce. But the rabbis have a right to say, if you give a divorce that we don't like, what are we going to do? We're going to uproot the marriage retroactively. Because when you got married, you said, I only want this marriage to last, to be a marriage. Kedas Moshe Yisrael. So if the Chachamim are not happy with that marriage, they have the right to uproot it retroactively. Pashut Pshat, gentlemen, this means that they were married for 5, 10 years. 10 years they were married. And the man gives the wife a divorce. If I don't show up in 12 months, I want to get to be again. And he has an onus. An onus. He doesn't come back after the onus because of onus. So, midoraisa, it's not a good get. The rabbis come along and say it is a good get. So the Gemara says, well, it doesn't mean that it's a good get. It means that if you give this kind of a get, the rabbis have a right to say that your marriage was never a marriage to begin with 10 years ago. You were never married. And we're going to see in a second, which means maybe they're still permitted to each other's relatives. Maybe it means if she committed adultery in the interim, we wouldn't kill her now, because it turns out retroactively she was never married. Maybe this woman can now marry a Kohen, because a Kohen's not allowed to marry a divorcee, but this woman's not really a divorcee. She's not really a divorcee. It turns out she was never married. Does she get her ksuba? I guess not. And we'll just do one more line in the Gemara. Well, maybe. So I'm sorry, there's no more sheets.
Rashi,
yeah,
that's Rashi. That's not the Gemara. In terms of saying that we're retroactively annulling the marriage as opposed to...
Okay. I'm going to address that in one second. Call the Mekadesh and die... Okay. It sounds a lot like it. I'll tell you why. It sounds a lot like the Gemara saying retroactive in our Gemara. We'll see. The Gemara brings up this same similar language in other Gemaras, but with slight nuances of difference. In our Gemara, it does sound like they're uprooting it from the beginning. I'll tell you why. Because the Gemara used language called the Mekadesh Adayt Rabban Kadesh. When you got married, you did it on the condition. In other words, gentlemen, the simple pshat of this Gemara, the way Rashi and Tosfos understand it. The simple pshat is this. You can suspend your marriage on whatever you want. You can make a condition. You can say, I'm hereby giving you this ring, I'm marrying you on the condition that it rains in 5 days from now. And if it rains, the marriage is a good marriage. If it doesn't rain, the marriage is not a good marriage. You can say, I'm giving you this marriage, I'm getting married, condition that your father, my future father-in-law, is going to give me $2 million that I can sit and learn for 10 years. You can suspend the marriage on whatever you want. You can make it tonight. That's the laws of condition. You can make a condition whatever you want. So Rashi doesn't understand. When every person who gets married, he says, I'm hereby getting married on the condition that the rabbis agree with my marriage. If it comes sometime in 10 years from now that the rabbis all of a sudden don't agree by marriage, so the marriage is out the window. You don't need a get. So the rabbi said, if you give a get, which has onus attachment, since there's going to be problems with snuas and prutzas, boom, we uproot the whole marriage retroactively.
Why not just make it tonight that you can't? Why not make the law that you can't make it all tonight? Why does everyone wait to matir in the case of onus? Why not make the halacha that you can't make a get out tonight? Why did they take it a step back?
I guess because the laws of condition are laws that apply to all kinyanim mechala tara kula.
But then you wouldn't have to use that kinyan.
You have plenty of get out tonight with people who have to war.
Exactly.
Get out tonight has
right.
Use.
It has a use. I don't know. I hear you. Now, gentlemen, I want to get back to Dr. Shane's point four. Dr. Shane, right? Not a doctor. Not a Dr. Shane. Okay. Mr. Shane. Okay. We give smicha here, we give MDs, right? DRS, doctors. Okay. So, now, gentlemen, it's interesting. It was pointed out before that is this really true that the rabbis are uprooting it retroactively? And there's a lot of nafkaminas to this. Is it retroactive or not? Like I said, can this woman now marry a Kohen? Is she considered to be a divorcee? Or is it considered that the marriage was totally uprooted from the beginning? If the marriage was totally uprooted from the beginning, she can marry a divorcee. She can marry a Kohen. She's not a divorcee. She was never married. And what about the kids? No, what about the kids, right? The kids would just be out of wedlock. That's not a manta, right? Just pana abala pnuya. It's an unmarried man with an unmarried woman that would not be considered a mamzer or anything. So the kids don't have that. But the question is, can he now marry her relatives? Let's say, can he marry her sister? Right, you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister. But now it turns out they were never married. So can he now go marry her sister? You're not allowed to marry the sister of your divorcee. If you divorce a woman, you're not allowed to marry your divorcee's sister. But now it turns out the marriage wasn't the marriage to begin with. She's not divorced. So all these kashas. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is... yes, no problem. But there's a Gemara in Bava Basra. You see, gentlemen, there are other instances where the rabbis uproot marriage. We're not going to go through all of them. I just want to focus on one other one, which the Gemara talks about in Bava Basra. The Gemara says over there, Amra Meirah, tell you the Kaddish Kiddushav Kiddushin. Right? You really like a girl. Problem is she doesn't want to marry you. So no problem. You take a gun, and you say to the girl, Harei Ad Mekodesh Aslik B'Tabazu G'das Mosh, I'll make you a deal that you can't refuse. You take out a gun and you force the woman to marry her. Does the marriage work or not? So the Gemara says, Kiddushav Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, Al Pidin, it's a good marriage. That's Amemar's opinion. And the Gemara explains why. Because Agav Unse Gomer Amakne. What do you mean? You need the das of the woman. How does that work? As well. You bet she really wants to get married. She wants to get married like she's never wanted anything in her life before. But she wants to stay alive, so she's willing to get married. That's the way Abayra says. But Ma Baravashi says no. Ma Baravashi Omar, Be'isha Vade Kiddushin Lohave. It's not a good marriage. Why? Who also Shaloka Hogan, since he did something very underhanded and inappropriate, Lafikach also Imo Shaloka Hogan, so the rabbis, he did something inappropriate, so the rabbis behave with him, you know, inappropriately. Vavki in a rabban la kiddusha mine. Okay. Well, the rabbis uproot the kiddusha. Rabbis uproot the kiddusha. Now, there's a difference between the way this principle of the rabbis uprooting marriage. So in other words, Marav Ravashi says, really Al Pidin it should have been a good marriage. Really Al Pidin it should have been a good. Midoraisa, it sounds like it would be a good marriage, just like if you force somebody to sell something, we pass in midoraisa, it is a good sale. So by marriage, midoraisa, it is a good marriage, but the rabbi said, sorry, we're not going to let you get away with that. You can't behave like that with Jewish women, and we're going to uproot the marriage from you. So now Tosfos points out that this interesting is, like you said before, there's a difference between the way the Gemara says the principle over here, as opposed to the principle the way the Gemara says in Exubus. What's the difference between the way the Gemara presents the principle in Bava Basra and the way the Gemara presents it in Ksubas? What's the difference?
Same
What does the Gemara leave out in Baba Basra? What does the Gemara leave out? Right. It leaves out the words called the Mekadesh, Adai to the Rabbanah Mekadesh. It leaves out anyone who's Mekadesh, a woman does it, Alpi Chachamim, and that's what gives the rabbis to uproot it, the right to uproot it. Why did the Gemara leave it out here? So Tosis addresses that issue in Baba Basra. So let's take a look at Tosis in Baba Basra. Hacha, Tosis says, Hacha loka amar called the Mekadesh, Adai to the Rabbanah Mekadesh. Why is that, says Tosis? Mishum. The Hacha, lo kiddush adai to the Rabbah. What are you going to say? Call the Mekadesh adai to the Rabbah Mekadesh. What gives the rabbis the right to uproot it? Because every person who marries, he gets married on the condition that the rabbis are going to like my marriage. This guy clearly could care less about getting married the way the rabbis want him to get married, because clearly he did something defarish against what the rabbis wanted. So Tosis begins by analyzing as follows. As here, the guy clearly did not do it. Kid the Kamar, who was a Shalakon. It's Sarach Lomar, the Savar Hacha. The Yesh Koch, Biachachom, Laka, Dover, Minotaur. Kevin Afkin, Rabban, the Kedushim, Eh. So Tosis in Baba Basra basically says that we're working with a different principle here. We're not working with the principle of since I was Makadish, the woman, on the condition that the rabbis should agree. Therefore, now that the rabbis don't agree, the rabbis uproot the Kedushim. No. The whole Kedushim doesn't get off the ground over here based on the principle of Yesh Koch Be'achacham Lagadar Minotaur. That's a sugya in Yavamas. It's a very interesting sugya, right? Right? We have many examples of this, right? The Torah says you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The Torah says you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What about if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? The Torah says you still blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Even if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, the Torah says, the Torah makes no distinction. Yom Tshuva Yelachet. The Zichron Shua, right? But the Torah never says Zichron Shua is when it falls out on Shabbos. Mido Raisa, you blow shofar even if it falls out on Shabbos. Come along the rabbis and say, we're worried that someone's going to carry the shofar and Shabbos. I'm worried that that someone's going to violate Shabbos. The rabbis come along and uproot the din of blowing shofar. How do the rabbis have the right to uproot the rice? So that's a principle in Maseches Yevamos and Dafayin Tes. Yesh koach b'yad chacham lakadov min haTorah. That sometimes under certain circumstances, b'sheva al taseh, sometimes the rabbis have the power to uproot the Torah. Kevin dafkin rabban l'kedusha minei. Yesh lakadov min haTorah. Kevin dafkin rabban l'kedusha minei. Va'af al gav d'lo kadosh adata. Even though the guy was not Mekadesh Aldas, the rabbis, still the rabbis have the power to uproot the marriage. Okay. However, so then Tosfos says, the Gemara in Ksubas seems to argue. Uvahit Ksubas, Arsugin Ksubas, Lechora Pligya Hachdashmaitin. So it sounds like the Gemara in Ksubas and the Gemara in Baba Basra are arguing. Because the Gemara in Ksubas says that the only way the rabbis have the uproot to the right to uproot marriage is because when I got married, I specifically said, Harei HaMekudeshet Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and I suspended my marriage on their das. So the only thing that gives the rabbis the power to uproot marriage is because I was Mekadesh on the condition that they should agree. But in a scenario where I clearly was Mekadesh, not on the condition that they should agree, namely like if I force the woman into it, so maybe in such a case the Gemara in Ksubas holds, the rabbis would not have the right to uproot. And yet the Gemara in Baba Basra says, no, they even have the right to uproot in a case where it was not done al datam. So Tosis first presents this as a dispute. Uvahid Ksubas, l'chora means it would appear. Pligia hach d'shmaitin, it's an argument against the Gemara in Baba Basra. It's just lemeir a time of that the rabbanu mekadesh, because the Gemara in Ksubas had to say that the only thing that gives the rabbis the right to uproot marriage is because I said kedas moshe of Yisrael. Mashma, that implies that you allowed that the rabbanu mekadesh. If not for the fact that I specifically said my marriage should be hinged upon what the rabbis said, lo haya kol b'yam lafkei kedushin, the rabbis would not have the power to uproot my marriage. However, at the end of Tosfos says no. There's no argument. There's no machlokas. Both sugyas are true. How so? Mihu nira to lo pligi. Says Tosfos, there's no machlokas. The itzrich time adadai to the rabbanu mekadesh, mishim dehosim came into kiddushin nasu kehogen Loi haya koach lechacham lafkiyam. Ilav mishum that that's Rabbanu Mekadesh. And Tosas draws this thing. Tosas, well, it depends. No. There's no dispute at all. There's no dispute at all. Why not? Says Tosis. The Gemara in Ksubis was dealing with a case where the man and woman were married for 20 years. And all of a sudden he gives her a get. He says, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want the get to be together. And he doesn't show up after 12 months. So midaraisa, and he doesn't show up after 12 months because of an onus. So midaraisa, yeish onus begitten, and the get is not a good get, and they're still married. So what gives the rabbis the power to uproot a 20-year marriage? Here, clearly, when they got married, it was a good marriage. It's a beautiful marriage. You did everything kedas, you did 100%, and they've been married for 20 years. What in the world gives the rabbis to uproot a 20-year marriage? So there, says Tosus, you need to come on to the principle of, since he was Mekadesh at the time of the marriage, on the condition that the rabbis should like this marriage, so that gives the rabbis the right 20 years from now to uproot it retroactively, because when I was Mekadesh, I gave them the right. However, the Gemara Bava Basra says, tells us, you don't need to come on to that. Because in that case, the marriage never got off the ground in the first place. Because the set from the very first second that you gave the woman the ring, already you messed it up. You messed it up for the first second. You put a gun to her head and said, Hariyah Mekadeshesli. So there, of course, the rabbis have the power to uproot it from day one. You don't need the condition in that case, because in that case, right away, you started off showing that you didn't get married all that time. So in a case where you start off from the first second, so you don't need to say, it's because I said you should agree with it. The rabbis knock it off to begin with. They don't let it get off the ground. You don't need the condition on the condition the rabbis agree with it. If the marriage never gets off the ground in the first place, there, the rabbis can do that right away. But in a case where there was a pre-existing marriage for 10 years, so there you're going to need the rabbis to uproot it retroactively. So we have this principle that the rabbis can uproot marriage. Either they do it retroactively, or they can do it from the first instance. Now,
well, why do you say that has to be the prayer? Why couldn't it be the kind of law of law? Makes sense that
Matt. That was going to be my next point. Again, I have two reasons to say that. First of all, the simple pshat in the Gemara is called the Mekadesh. When you marry, you said that v'afkinu rabbanu v'afkinu means the rabbis uprooted the marriage. Number one, it's the simple pshat in the Gemara. Number two.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Number two, well, what gives the rabbis the right to just cut something off? If midoraisa, the Torah says, it's not a good get.
Because right now, it's not kedas Moshe Yisrael. Anytime within the marriage, when it's not kedas Moshe Yisrael.
So that's it. The marriage just ends on a dime without a divorce.
They have the power. Since you got married through them, then they have the power to
end it.
If you're not getting married, the Torah gives you a way to get married. And if you can break off that way to get married, the Torah also gives you the way to get married. So the only way to get rid of a Torah marriage is to annul the marriage. You can't break it without a get.
That's what it's good. Having said that, again, 95% of Rishonim say what Avi just said. But from our Tosis and the Shita Mukubetza says so befeirish, the Shita Mukubetza actually says, no, what the rabbis did is, even though this get is not good on the level of the Maisa, so the rabbis have the power to annul the marriage, Mikadol Abba. There are some, the Shita Mukubetza is that befeirish, and some people learn that in Tosis, that they say, Yesh Koch, Biyad Chalak, and Dover Minotaur, it's from now on. And this has a lot of ramifications. This has many ramifications, Halacha L'Maisa. The Rishonim here, this is all we're going to do next week, some applications over the next line of the Gemara. But,
would you go so far as saying you don't even need a get? But the Chachamim have the power to uproot the marriage without a get?
Well, you could either say that you don't need a get because they uprooted it retroactively, or you could say they took this get that the Torah said is not a good get, and the rabbi said this get is a good get. So, depends how you say it. Now, this is going to have a lot. Okay, the Rishonim here ask two fundamental questions against this Gemara. The Rishonim here has two fundamental questions. I have it here in the Ritva. It's also a Tosis and Gittin. And all the Rishonim ask this. Many Rishonim ask this kasha. Tosis and Gittin. Let's see if it's all the same kasha. All the same kasha. They all ask the following kasha. We learned, gentlemen, we learned something. I mentioned it in passing. There's a Gemara in Gittin on Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Yud Zayin says, why do you have to write the Zman in a get? Why do you have to write the Zman in a get? Why do you have to put the date? Right, what's it, you know, let's say we have two witnesses. A man's divorcing his wife. There's two witnesses. They see, they read the get. Get says, it says, Hare at megureshes imeni. Okay. And two witnesses see me deliver the get. What's the problem? Why does he have to have the Zman written in the get? Anybody know? Why do you need the Zman? What's going to be the problem? Problem's going to be, Gemara says like this: Shema Yichapa al Basa Chosin. Again, Shema Yichapa was a very fascinating application, but the general principle you'll figure out. Shema Yichapa al Basa Chosin. Gemara says, do you know what that means? Because we know you're allowed to marry your niece.
Know that?
I'll be, you're not allowed to marry your nephew, a woman, and a boy is not allowed to marry his aunt. But on Torah, based on Torah law. A man is allowed to marry his niece. The Torah says you're allowed to. So what are we worried about? We're worried that a man's going to be married to his niece. And she's going to cheat on him. She's going to commit adultery on her uncle. She's going to cheat on him and marry somebody else. She's going to go sleep with somebody else. She's going to go commit adultery while married to her uncle. Now, most women who commit adultery on their husband, so the husband could really care less about what happens to his wife. If his wife gets killed, Baruch Hashem, that will happen. If your wife cheats on you and she gets killed in Bezdin, you probably, I don't know, I don't want to know, but you'd probably be a happy guy. But if you're married to your niece, after all, she's still your niece. She's still your niece, right? So the Gemara says, you know why you have to have this man written in again? Because we're worried about a case of a guy who's married to his niece, and his niece is going to commit adultery. And what are you going to do to save the life of your niece? You're going to hand her a get, and the get is not going to have his mind written on it. So right after you heard she committed adultery, you're going to get, quick, take the get. Take the get. And if the get doesn't have his mind written on it, so they're going to take her to court to kill her, and she's going to say, no problem, he already divorced me before I committed the adultery. So she'd be divorced. So this way, the uncle is going to get his niece out of death. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin. That's why you have to have the date written on the get. Shema Yichab al Basachosa. That's the Gemara in Gittin. Come along, all the Rishonim, and ask an hour Gemara, wait a minute. Come along, all the Rishonim, and ask an hour Gemara, wait a minute. The Yesh Makshim, the Ritva over here, Tosis in Gittin, and the Ramban, and the Raiva, everybody asks the Kasha. In Cain, Nimsa Yochel Chapos al Basachosa Shezinsa, Sheitan la get Beinu Sheyesham Shum Ones. Right? There's a Mishnah in Kiddush that says there's a terrible problem. There's a terrible problem in Yiddishkeit. You know, God wasn't too fair when he set up the laws of the Torah. A mamzer, right? What's a mamzer? A mamzer is, right, a woman cheats on her husband, she goes and sleeps with somebody else, and now they have kids, and Nebuch, the kids are mamzer, and they can't marry any Jews. Listen to this. So the Gemara struggles with this idea, like, what's a mamzer supposed to do? He didn't do anything wrong. It's my parents who did something wrong, and now I got to suffer my whole life. So the Gemara goes to, how can we get mamzer or not be mamzer? So the Gemara comes up with this possibility, that possibility, interesting possibilities of how to get a mamzer not to be a mamzer. So, it's very simple, very simple. Give your wife, let's say if you have a child who's a mamzer because you married somebody else's wife. So, no problem. Give your wife a get. Don't show up after 12 months. Arrange an onus, which perhaps by definition is not an onus. That's a discussion. But there's other ways to do it. The Gemara has other examples that I get uprooted where you could actually arrange it. Like, I'll give you another example. The Gemara in Gittin says that. What's that? Well, that's where the moms are. Yeah. That's where the moms are. Someone told me Rabbi Tamlin once tried to arrange that, to have the moms are marry and have an ivory and have the child. Acquired whatever. Now I don't know. I'm not sure how that worked out, but So very simple. Like the Gemara says in Gittin, there's another way that the rabbis uproot the condition. If a man marries a woman and he wants to divorce her, so he sends the divorce aide shliach. He gives the divorce document here. Go give this divorce to my wife. And then he goes not in front of the shliach and he's mevatel the get. He says, I really don't want the get to be a get. So midoraisa, he's allowed to be. He can be mevatel the get. But now what's going to happen? The shliach doesn't know that he was mevatel the get. The shliach is going to go to the wife and deliver the get. Meanwhile, the woman's going to get the get. She's going to think she's divorced. She's going to go marry somebody else. So came along the rabbis and said, even though midoraisa, it's not a good get, the rabbis are going to say it was a good get. So ask Tosis and get in the daf lama gimel. And ask the Ritva over here. So in onus, you could say, well, you can't really arrange an onus. But wait a second. Why aren't we worried? Shami chapa al basachoso. Why aren't we worried if the rabbis could really uproot the marriage to begin with? So why aren't we worried about a scenario where a guy's married to his niece, and his niece is going to commit adultery on him? So what's he going to do? So then let him just send the get to her and then be mevatlet shalom if they get. So the rabbis are now going to say, oh, that the rabbis are going to uproot the marriage to begin with, and it turns out that he and his niece were never married to begin with. See, so why doesn't anybody worry? Why is Gemara worried? Shemi chabel basachosa. Now they have the scenario that the rabbis have the right to uproot a marriage to begin with. And also Yechol and Mamzer and Litaya, right? So that's Ritva's kasha. Imke nimsi yachol chabel basachosa shezinsa sheyitin lo get beinu sheyesham shem ones. Let's go. Could you my friend Yechol and Mamzer Litaya? That's one kasha they all ask. So there are a number of answers given. I'll show it to you in my notes. So the Rishonim asked, the Ramban asked this kasha, the Ritva, the Shittim Akvetzes, and other Rishonim. Two main questions. First of all, the Gemara says if the Chacham can uproot the marriage, so you can be Mechava Basachoso. So the Ramban says, and the Tosa Rush explains the answer. The Ramban gives a brilliant answer. I mean, it's a simple answer. Brilliant answer. He says, wait a second. There's a big difference in the case of why you needed to write this man and get versus this din of Shem Yechap al-Bazachos that the rabbis are going to uproot the Kedushim of Marfreya. There's a massive difference. In a case of where you're married to your niece and she commits adultery and you give her a get without a Zman written on it, that is sheker. That is false. In other words, at the time she committed adultery, really, she was married to you. Now you're going to give her a get, so she's going to deceive Bezdin. She's going to give him that get and make like she got the get beforehand, when in reality, she was married, and you only gave her the get afterwards. That's lying. That's an issue that Bezdin's going to make sure to try to avoid. However, says the Ramban, in this case, where the rabbis actually uproot the marriage retroactively, the Ramban says, if you can get your niece out of being chayav misa legitimately, make my day, says the Ramban. Do it. Yes, you're right, it's a legal loophole, but it's a legitimate legal loophole. In the case of giving a get without his man, that's an illegitimate loophole. You're gonna fake Bezdin out to make them think you were divorced prior to you were really being divorced. But in reality, you weren't divorced at the time of the thing, and you should be killed. As opposed to this case, if you could really succeed in getting Bezdin to uproot the marriage retroactively, it turns out that at the time of the Zasnia, you pulled a fast one, don't get me wrong, but it was a legitimate fast one. And if it's a legitimate loophole, says the Ramban, no problem. And if this is a good way for Mamzerin to become no longer Mamzerin, says the Ramban, Matova Manoim. I love this way of getting. If you can uproot the marriage, l'chachila, no problem. That's the Ramban's answer. He says, Yichabe v'yichabe, Mefshel Mamzerin, why not? And Tosa Rosh explains to you, there's a difference between Basachoso. Yeah. Let's see, do we have any other answers? There's many other answers. Now, gentlemen, there are other answers to this kasha. Let's see, what does the Ritva say? Ritva says, yeah, Tavolav Bracha. What's Tosa saying? Gittin? Oh, so others say differently. So Tosa says in Gittin, others say that no. Rabbi Tam says, gives an answer, I don't have it up there, but Rabbi Tam says no. If the rabbis see that he is specifically creating the scenario of uprooting the marriage retroactively just in order to get his niece out of Achiv Misa, the rabbis will say, in this case, we are not uprooting the marriage. So Rabbi Tam says, if Beis Din smells, if they see what's going on over here, and they see that this woman committed adultery, and that's why this guy's going through this whole charade of getting the marriage uprooted retroactively, Bez is going to say, stop right there. That was the whole reason, the whole reason the rabbis uprooted the marriage in the first place, because they're worried about snuas and prutzos. That's the whole reason the rabbis, so that's only, they only uprooted the marriage where it makes sense. In this case, if this is going to cause people to be more parents, this is going to cause people to commit adultery all the time, and then just, oh, sure, no problem. I can cheat on my husband, and then we'll make an arrangement and have the wedding uprooted retroactively. Says Rabbi Tam, that's going to cause so much znus among the Jewish people that the rabbis say, if we see you just trying to play with this law, not legitimately, just to erase all these marriages, the rabbis are not going to uproot. And there are many, many more other answers. But gentlemen, if you say, like we said before, like Stewie wanted to say, that the rabbis uproot the marriage only from now and on, that's also a great answer. Like the Shita Mekubetzes and Tosis, if and there's a Rashba that sounds like that, that if you say the rabbis never uprooted the marriage retroactively, they only uprooted it from the time of the giving of the get onward, so then this whole kasha falls off because there's no way to uproot the marriage retroactively in such a case. So there are many, many different ways of dealing with that. And finally, the last point I'd like to speak about this year is the issue of Hasra Safik. Rishonim ask another kasha. All of them, they ask the same kasha. Va'od hikshir Rabbeinu. Where's the Ritva? Ritva asks, right? Va'od hikshir imkein heach memisin ha'ba'al eishas ish. U'mamzer heach memisin ha'ba'al eishas ish. Sh'arei hasra safiki. Shema tava hayom amachli de'afkaz kiddushin. The Rishonim all ask another kasha over here. We know there's a rule that you can't kill somebody for committing an avera. You cannot, Beis Din will not kill somebody for committing an avera unless they have what? Unless they have hasra. What does hasra mean? That if a person is being mechal Shabbos, do they really know? I mean, who knows? Is it shogi? I do it by accident, do it on purpose. How do you know how you're going to kill somebody? So there is a two witnesses have to say, Herz Chaim, my friend, you know what you're doing? What you're about to do is a chil Shabbos, and for what you're about to do, you're going to get stoned for that. You're going to get skila. And only if he says, well, I know it, but I'm doing it anyway, in such a certain scenario, that's the only time we're going to actually kill somebody.
In this case, you're going to have a good hasra.
Oh, so comes along all the Rishonim and say, hey, wait a second. In any case of Eishes Ish, every case ever of a married woman committing adultery, every single case of a married woman committing adultery, how could you ever stone her? Because maybe before you get a chance to stone her, what's going to happen, maybe the guy will end up sending a get. Let's work it out. Then the woman is married, she goes and commits adultery with somebody else.
But at the time that she's committing adultery, they give her the asra. And then at that time...
Right. But maybe what's going to happen is, in a year from now, retroactively, it's going to turn out that she was never married. Because the guy will, let's say, send her a get, and be mevatelet shelo b'fanah, and it's going to turn out some scenario where the whole marriage will be uprooted retroactively. So how can you ever warn her? It's hasra safek. Because you don't really know whether she's really chayavas misa, because any woman who's married, you don't really know if she's married, because maybe in 5 months from now, it's going to turn out that she was never married. That's what the Rishonim asked. You don't believe me. I'll show you. They really ask you. You don't believe me. You don't believe me. Look what it says. Va'od hikshu. Im kein hech memis na ba'al eishes ish.
Do I have it already then?
Harei shar hasra safiki. Shema taba hayomu macha lidei afkaz kiddushin. Maybe today, as soon as I hear that my wife was mezana, so today I'll send her a get, and I'll be mevatel et shalom for now, so the rabbis are going to now uproot the marriage to begin with. So the hasra sevik lo shema hasra. So there are about 5 or 6 answers to this kasha. A whole bunch of answers. What do you think the answer is, gentlemen? What do you think the answer is?
Well,
part of Kedas Moshe of Yisrael is that she has to know that if she does that, she's not going to get a retroactive gift.
So you want to say the same answer as we said before, that if the rabbi sees she's pulling shtick.
Not that she sees, but the legal condition, the legal condition of marriage is that if she messes around, that they're not going to retroactively cancel.
Right. Okay, so there are a number of answers. So the Rishonim give a lot of answers. Number one, we follow a majority in that case. I mean, a majority, Hasra Safik means where there's a 50-50 chance that you will or will not actually do this Avera, or that this really is or is not an Avera. But in a case where most women certainly are not going to have their Kedushin nullified retroactively, that's not a problem of Hasra Safik. Others say the whole din of Hasra Safik is only where you, the woman, can change it. But here, the woman can't affect it. It's got to be something that comes from outside the woman. Hasra Safik is only a situation where the woman can maybe make this not into an Isra. Or many other answers of similar ilk. Hasra Safik is only where the exemption is 50-50, just like the Chiyuv. But here, that the Chiyuv is very, very frequent, so it's considered Hasra Safik. And also here, we have no Safik. There's no Suffolk right now. There might be a Suffolk in the future. Right now, I don't have a Suffolk. Right now, she's married. So you don't create Sveikos where there are no Sveikos. But again, the same answer we said before. If you learn that the Kedushin are batel only mikan l'haba, so then also it's not a case of a Suffolk, because right now, she's for sure in his later on, they might be mivatel Kedushin, but that's only mikan l'haba. So anyway. Okay. So just to review what we learned today, very briefly, so basically we came across this very fascinating concept that even though the Torah says they're still married, the rabbis have a right to say to go marry somebody else. We analyzed how this works. Does it work retroactively based on Tanai, or does it work based on the principle of Yishkoch Pechalach Adom in the Torah? Like we saw by Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis can say don't blow shofar on Shabbos, or by Shekin Olulov, the first day of when the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, because the Torah says you take the Lulav anyway, the rabbis say no. So the rabbis have the power to uproot certain cases. V'shev al tas, generally speaking, the rabbis have a right to say passively. But our Gemara seems to say, at least the Gemara of Abbasu seems to say, that the rabbis have the right power to uproot a marriage, either retroactively because you made it on condition, or sometimes, yesh kol b'yachacham, they have the power to uproot it right away. And based on this, we saw some distinctions about can she marry a Kohen? Machlok is about that. Does it really work retroactively? Kana Labon. That also affects questions about Shema Yechap al Basal Chosa or Hasra Safik. So next week, what I want to do is a little slight continuation of what we have here. Next week, I want to talk about a very, very fascinating topic about the next one line of the Gemara. The next one line of the Gemara says, it makes sense that rabbis could uproot if you get married with money. Married with relations, then it does make sense. So a little just further along the lines of here, in what cases do the rabbis have the right to uproot, and in what cases do the rabbis not have the right to uproot, we'll take that up by next week's resolution.